Welcome to Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for the talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can even either call us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Are you going to participate on the web? Just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for Quality 17702, or you can also search for Starfleet Universe On Call. Either way, you'll find me. And also, of course, if you like Twitch, we also co-broadcast on Twitch. So go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you'll find us there. And I'm always looking at the chat room, so I'd be happy to communicate with you. Not in the chat room, but I'll respond on the recording. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my podcasting account is sfuoncall. Shocker. And I also have a personal account, which is Paul France, P-A-U-F-R-N-Z. Just a warning, I am a rabid O's fan. I'm really proud to be a Catholic and also love tech of all sorts. And if you just want to follow, so if you don't like any of those, just don't follow me. And if you want to follow my France Games account, you can find out what's going on Starfleet Warlord and also with SFU Online and anything else related to France Games. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week, which is, it's the first of the month. Well, a little past first of the month. But anyway, new, of course, that means new ships on Shapeways. The new ships on this Shapeways are Carnarvon Light Cruiser, Police Corvette, Police Flagship, Police Squadron, the Omni Gunboat, Pia Flotilla, and also a Carnarvon Fleet Builder Collection. Also, of course, the Jindarian Destroyer and War Destroyer, and then there's three tanks that they added. I looked at there's the Andromeda Legionnaire tank, which is actually quite cool. The Gorn Sisk tank, I think I got that right, and Zindi Tigerpaw tanks, which are, you know, I think that's an awesome way to go, which is add tanks onto it and encourage people to buy Starfleet Marines and use those kind of things, you know, the tanks, and hopefully they'll have squadrons. I'm not sure if they might already have them, and I just don't know. In which case, if they do, I apologize and forgive me for that. Moving on to the SFB Online Tournament, that is the Masters Tournament that is going on right now. It's quite a few games still yet to play, including my own, and I have to get my button gear and get to Seth and play. It's not going to happen this weekend. I'm too busy with all kinds of other things. And then including, I'm doing my Starfleet Warlord. Also, I'm off to a convention. Gamers of Summer, I'm going to be going to the One Room Convention near Harrisburg. And hopefully I'll get to play some games. Moving on forward, when it comes to the online client, actually, I just fixed some issue with the X-Drones. I have not released it, but I have the fix all staged and ready to go. When it comes to FedCom library, I'm sorry, I've not sat down and actually focused on processing all the current backlog ships that I have sitting in my inbox. So they still stay at squadron size ships that are available in the library. It's 528. Fleet size ships is currently only 422. And with that, that is news for this week. And it's me, it's my little Paul France, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me, and Lord knows. It's been a difficult night when it comes to Talkshoe. Talkshoe's just been, I don't know, it went wonky on me. So it's like, okay, fine. I'm just going to broadcast only to you guys over on twitch.tv, so please enjoy the show. So, tonight's topics at the moment, the plan is to start with something which just came up, and it was just so neat. I had to bring it up as a topic because of one, I didn't have a better idea, and two, it was a cool idea, and I liked the idea as at least a beginning of a concept. Okay, and that is the concept, and actually the implementation that's starting to occur, which is miniatures for Starfleet Marines. Now, I know they've been asked for before, and actually, currently you can get the Klingon Warriors. I think I've not checked the online store, and so I apologize if they're all sold out. But they had single Klingon Warrior miniatures around probably on this high, and you'll bases around there on that big, which I'm sure the people on just the podcast are going, that really is helpful. Yeah, the stands are around the size of a quarter, so they're relatively small. But at the same time, most Starfleet Warlord maps are very small, and usually you're not. When it comes to the units, they're not represented by the units are not representative of a single person, you know, alien, whatever. It's they're representative of a squadron. So, obviously, a couple of things that would have to occur to really support this idea of miniatures, because one is okay, we can't have this one miniature which is that big, because that's pretty big when it comes to terms of you want a squadron. The squad, what you really gonna want is something that maybe, let me think about this for a moment, probably quarter size, you know, maybe a little larger. And have it, you know, shown as multiple figures. And I think that would be best. But the second thing that really would be required for such a thing as Starfleet Marines and playing with miniatures is basically a mega hex map. The ones where I have much larger hexes. Now, the tough part about that one is just that the maps that are currently used are very, they're you know, good size, beautiful, gorgeous, really gorgeous maps. You know, the background of the maps are really good, wonderful. And the one thing that AB would have to do, and it's something that they did for F&E, but they also had to get a lot of buy-in from people. And that is these large maps. And what you do is the large maps would actually be rolled. You know, they'd be laminated. These be big, large, laminated maps. Now, the problem with doing a large laminated map is cost. And ADB said, we will not create this map unless we get so many orders. Basically, the whole idea of the pre-order kind of thing, like I'm not sure if they can do it. They might do it today, or they might have switched to Kickstarter as a framework to do it. And that is, in the past, gaming groups, gaming companies. I apologize. What they would do, some gaming companies, what they would do is like, okay, these are the games we're thinking about creating, but we will not create that game unless we get so many pre-orders. As in, put the money down and say, I want that game. And after they get so many pre-orders, you know, up to a certain level, then they go, great. Now we'll actually put the manpower behind that to actually get it done. So, in that case, that, you know, put that in place and get it done. You know, AB did the same thing. Yeah, Yeah, I know Kickstarter, you can do that. But I was wondering if those gaming companies that previously used pre-orders to do their business move to Kickstarter. And that's a good idea. Iggy, which is neoprene. I've never actually used a map of neoprene, so I can't tell you what kind of quality that is, because I do have the one map I made and printed out, and Lord knows it cost me a good bit of money, which was the one for Federation, Merchants of the Federation. That was it. Which is actually a kind of cool game, but I need to play it more, and Lord knows after the initial release, I've not seen anything in the Board Game Geek forum. So I'm not sure where it is at this moment in time. Hopefully it's progressing. And I also meant 6 millimeter is a common micro armor scale. Yep. A question, Iggy, do you know if that would be doable when it comes to squadrons, or would have a squadron have to be represented by a single soldier? You know, because I'm hoping to have like not a full squadron of people, but the idea of having a miniature which represents a squadron be like three people. Three quote unquote people. And if possible, and Lord knows this is the most difficult part about something like that, is to have the different races. You know, have a Gorn, have a Klingon, maybe a collection of races from the Klingon Empire. Zinti. this is always a tough part with Zinti. You have Zinti and Liren, which are basically the same. You know. Don't ever tell that to a Zindi or a Liren. They'll definitely argue with you about that. But, you know, that they are both humanoid cats, you know, and so forth. You know, would that be possible? And make it so that it was definitive. You could actually, sorry, not, it was detailed enough. That's the word I'm looking for. Detailed enough so you can actually recognize that each one. Oh, I did not know that. Chris was just mentioning that Zintis don't have tails and Lirans do, which is something I did not realize. Okay, I guess the really big argument between Zintis and Lirans is that they came from common stock. You know, so Pod, I'm sorry, I had to put down my cap. But so Zindis are more like bobcats, you know? I'm just thinking, you know, because of actually, you know, bobcats have a very stubby tail, if I recall correctly, which is possible in Zindis to take that to the natural progression that they might have a stubby tail and then, you know, it finally got completely removed. Lynx. Oh, lynx. Okay, thank you. Oh, lynx are like lynx. And Zinni are tiger men. Lynx are like the bobcat and the lynx. Okay, so I did. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I thought I really screwed up when I said bobcat because I remember bobcat having this little fuzzy little tail. And I was correct. Was, both Bobcat and Lynx both have that same thing. Okay, but back to the, but if that's too small to have definitive, you know, it can actually detail enough so you actually can tell whether to, like I'm sorry, Zinni and Liren would have to represent the same way. You know, would be my guess. In theory, you could probably put a tail on it and have Zinni. Oh, okay. That doesn't surprise me. Dave is mentioning here in the chat room that he was reading Catalog number 53 and that they talked about the Klingons calling Zinti Tigerman, which makes sense. You know, of course, I'm surprised. That's interesting. What did Klingons call Lirans then? I'd like to know. But anyhow, I think that'd be really, really cool, you know, having these large maps. And if they could, basically take the current graphic, which I'm not sure if it's detailed enough to do this, and blow it up and put it maybe on neoprene, or at the very least have it laminated. Because I think lamination actually probably would do it just fine. The idea is to blow up the hexes to be larger. Which I'm... Iggy's saying that's telling them tiger men are sexist and there are tiger people. So, sorry, that's why I laughed, you know. Whatever, let's not go there, okay? But anyway, you know, I'm assuming that ADB, well, at least when it comes to hexes, no problem. I'm just wondering about the graphic. If the graphic is detailed enough, has higher resolution, that it can actually be larger. Because if it can, I think that'd be awesome. Because of, you have the squadrons, and then... apologize. I'm going to do this, and I'll be switching. I just want to show you guys what it is on the screen, so that agree, Dave. Probably, and that is these beautiful, beautiful tanks on Shapeways. You just don't mind me for a moment. Okay, just want to make sure that there's no one else. Or Gary didn't show up and all of a sudden say, hey, you know. They're pronounced. Oh, jeez. Oh, thank you, Chris. Chris is. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting too distracted by the chat room. But anyway, on, you know, what was released this month was three different tanks. You've got the Andromedan Legionnaires. Let me see if I can show you this. I wanted to click on this so you can see a larger picture of it, which is kind of cool. You know, they look like flying saucers, you know, which wouldn't surprise me if they're hovercraft and they kind of go around, because that's kind of what they look like they would do. You know, that if you ever seen some of the old takes on hovercraft, this reminds me of those hovercraft. If you know, and obviously if you're on the podcast, you know, go to Shapeways, just click on newest, you know, sort by newest, and you'll see them, so you get an idea. Then we have the Zinti tiger paw tanks, which if you look at them, they look more like a normal tank. We look at and go, oh, that's a tank. You know, obviously, it's a little different take on a tank in that what it looks like the turret is at the front of the tank. And then I'm assuming the back of the tank, where it's like a platform, and then it's raised a little bit on the back. I'm wondering that might be where the engine is. That'd be my guess. You know, and I'll show the last one just to complete, which is the Gorn Sisk, I think is pronounced. Which, again, this looks like they... I understand how I got inspired. It kind of looks like a flying saucer. This one definitely looks like a flying saucer. Now, a flying saucer, which is basically one of the front or back parts, you know, the saucer parts of a Gorn ship. That is what it reminds me of. I'm sure that was the inspiration for this. So that's why I got inspired to discuss using, you know, Starfleet Marines miniatures, because of if you could have the tanks, get the difference, get The tough part, I would think, okay, you can do squadron of, you know, the squadron of possibly the different of different races for the different empires. And I do mean races here, not empires, because each one might represent an empire, but it might have different races as part of that, as I mentioned about the Klingons, you know, because you have different kinds of Klingon Marines. You know, not all of them are Klingons, the race Klingons. Some of them are some subjugated races. So that's why I mentioned that. And possibly if you wanted to, you could do the same thing for Federation, you know, because I think most of Federation, I think most of them are humanoid. I'd actually look up GURPS. I'd have to look at Prime Directive to know what that is. So, but the tough part, I think, also would be the kind of squads that you'd use for the miniatures. You know, why I was actually looking at, what was the other ones? I was looking at the general. Because the one thing on the general I wanted to look at was, give me a sec. Not the captor mines. It was, where is it? Give me a sec. Ah, there it is. Which is the general and specialty shuttles. Because, okay, I'll be honest. Shuttles are covered in Starfleet Marines, but I'm willing to bet you that most scenarios don't include shuttles. You know, because the whole idea is the shuttles are flying overhead and possibly they can hover and then let out Marines and bring them or land and so forth. Obviously, to me, that would be a great scenario. Because if you think about it, you know how the Jindarians, they have ATFs, anti-transporter fields. The whole idea is that they, instead of relying on really big shields, because there's really big, you know, the rock ships of the Jindarian, they don't rely on big shields. They have these really small shields, and you can reinforce the shields and so forth. But the thing that's going to protect them from being invaded, that's not really the proper term, aborted, is what it would be these anti-transporter fields, and that would stop it. And I can easily imagine a scenario where you have some, you know, that, because I'm not sure that's part of this universe outside of the Jindarians. And that'd be kind of cool technology to be able to add. I'd have to talk to Steve Cole about that, about adding anti-transporter fields, because here's the thing. I can easily see that you have these different installations on planets have ATF fields, have anti-transportation fields. The idea of it is that the main reason would be to stop troops from being transported in, you know, a large amount of troops to be transported in quickly, you know, versus, you know, having to land them on the planet with shuttles or possibly even, I'm thinking about like the Romulan ships, which land on, are able to land on planets and then disembark their troops that way. And have a scenario based on that. You know, the whole idea of that the troops have to either escape, they have to escape one way or the, you know, brought in to attack this installation, but the installation itself has anti-transporter fields, so they can't be just transported in really close to the installation and attack, or even inside the installation. You know, obviously, you could, in theory, do that using shields. And if you think about it, I can easily imagine the idea of creating a very light shield. Something along the lines of, I'm thinking of Dune. Where in Dune, shields, you know, you can wear personal shields. And usually you did that for knife fights. That it was like these duels, which you had knife fights. And the key thing there with those kind of shields was that you couldn't just, you know, blunt force, you know, stab someone. You could not. You had to slowly penetrate the shield to finally get through. And I'm thinking of, can you have it so that a shield can act as the anti-transporter field if it's set like at a very low grade shield? So you can walk in and out with no issue. But it also it's enough to disrupt transporters, you know, which I think the idea is kind of a neat idea, and something I'll bring up to Steve Cole is maybe into the next module, you know, the whole idea of anti-transporter fields, and see if he might be interested in such, because I think it's an awesome device to use for scenarios. And so that requires them, if you want to have it so that as part of the scenario is then that you have to land the troops on the planet, that, you know, that's when shuttles become a lot more useful. Obviously, you can still do transporters. But the question, the question then comes in being is how big of a quote-unquote field of a radius field for anti-transporter fields would you use? And also, of course, if you want to, you can set up multiple ones surrounding your installation, you know, but or possibly even have it so that you definitely could have a scenario where the atmosphere was so disruptive that they couldn't transport down. Because I'm sure, actually, I know of multiple Star Trek episodes where that was the case, where they actually had to go down in shuttles. And Lord knows, I still remember McCoy, Dr. McCoy did not like transporters at all. I was thinking about the new Star Trek movie series kind of thing when they started it over, which I really liked it. I think they did an awesome job, to be honest. You know. Now, kind of destroying Vulcan and that kind of thing and moving forward, that's hard. And I'm not sure if they're going to be doing a new one of those. I probably love shuttles. I'd have to discuss that with Gene. But anyhow, getting back to, you know, obviously they've got a whole collection of just general admin shuttles, which in theory you could actually use to represent troop, you know, shuttles. Because I don't think they have, I think they do have, okay, this is one, another one, which could be used for the Marines, which is just, these are called general cargo trucks, which obviously could represent troop carrier, not necessarily a troop carrier, but possibly even just a truck. Because if I recall correctly, in Starfleet Marines, they actually have on the combat table, not combat table, but the movement table, trucks. You know, so that if troops wanted to jump into the back of a truck, they could actually jump in the back of the truck and go forward. So that could probably be something that they could use for that. And I forget, was there something in the back? Right, this was it. There it is. The general heavy transport shells and heavy assault shells, these would actually be the ones that you probably would use for, actually, these are the ones that you would, because the, as it says here, the heavy assault shell is basically a heavy transport shell with armor and ground fire weapons of a ground assault shuttle. Notice the weapon mounts are under the front of the ship, right there. See the little noob. These shells are twice the size of standard shuttle and take up two landing spots on the ship's hangar deck. Yeah, double space shuttles. This comb of hydro shells is available on various sources. You know, and that's just talking about the miniature itself. And that's for, I assume it's a collection of three of each. Okay. So these are the assault ones. These are just the transports. And obviously, if you really wanted to, you could just use the heavy transports. And say these are heavy assault shells. If in a pinch, you know, or in theory, you could use heavy transport shuttles in a combat situation, if need be. Because Lord knows, if you ever looked at commando ships don't have that much weaponry. You know, it's not designed to be heavily laden. Let me just look at this for a moment. I apologize. I'm looking at admin show. I'm just wondering how big it is. It's probably huge. There it is. It's, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm a stinking American. And I need it to be in metric. Not metric. I need it to be in English. So it's half an inch by an inch by half an inch. So that's good size. That's a good size shuttle. And is this for one? Da-da-da. I'm assuming this is for one. So it's $12 for a single one of those shuttles. So I'm just thinking about that just for a moment. And the reason why I'm thinking about it is just in the case of when it comes to Starfleet Marines, if you want, and I think that might be a good idea if you could use those. And here's the only reason why I say that. And that is because of the larger shuttle represented there, I mean physically larger, might be closer to relative scale. Maybe, no. I have to look how shuttles affect the hex, and I'm not sure if any of you guys actually know the size of a hex in Starfleet Marines, because I know I don't off the top of my head, and I'd have to look it up. I apologize, I haven't looked. I didn't bring up my Starfleet Warlord. Not Warlord. Marines game rulebook, because I think I have it. I'm just wondering if I do. Nope, I do. Right. And I'm just going to look real quick, guys. I don't want to interrupt it too much, which is, so I see if it doesn't mention anything about, because it says a different, you know, different units. I don't see it mentioned. The town hexes and so forth. Okay, forgive me. I don't see it. I'm just going to look a little higher. Look at the front. No, I do not see it. Right. These are squadrons. Right. You could. Yeah, it talks about deal having different kind of shuttles available, ground assault, admin shuttles, minesweeping shuttles, you know. Ground bombardment shuttles, heavy assault shuttles, heavy transport shuttles, you know, which I just showed you. And think out. I don't see not even movement. Okay. I'm sure ADB has an idea of how large that an actual hex is, and I just don't see it in the manual at the moment. But you know, I know in the case of using definitely in the case of SFB, the hex size, a hex is quite large. In that, you know, you can contain lots of ships within a single hex. So I was wondering if you could have like a shuttle and multiple pieces. That to me, that's always the interesting part about when you use miniatures. Because in the case of, let's say, SFB, an SFB, in theory, you could have a miniature. You could have idea is that you could have multiple miniatures in a single hex, but at the same time, the miniatures that are created don't only one. Okay, back up. That is, for most maps, you only can going to put a single miniature in that map hex. So, to actually have it, so you can actually fit multiple miniatures, the maps would have to be absolutely huge. That'd be kind of cool, though. Have a map which is the size of a room. That'd be tough, man. That'd be tough. And the only reason I say doing that kind of thing would be tough is not the logistics of setting up a board like that. That actually is relatively simple. The harder part, in my mind, would be having it so that you could walk on the map without destroying the map. That would be the tough part. You know, so, and I think, actually, I'd have to look that up. What I was thinking about was Call to Arms. And Call to Arms Starfleet. And with that, Call to Arms Starfleet, if I recall correctly, that's hexless. At least that's the main precept, that it is hexes, though I think you can actually use hex-based movement in it. Just you have to adjust things a bit. And given that if you can use hex-based in Call to Arms, I think it's still one ship per hex. You know, the whole idea is that's not that that's a small ship in a large hex. You know, so I think that it'll be interesting. But I'm assuming that the whole idea would be the same thing would hold true with Starfleet Marines, that a single hex can actually hold multiple. Actually, I have to think about that because if I recall correctly, you can't do that. In Starfleet Marines, you only can have one squadron in each hex. If I recall correctly, actually, that's a good thing to note. Right. Okay, stack. Here it is. Okay. Oh, actually, no. You're allowed to stack up to 3 infantry units and up to 3 vehicles, which might carry infantry internally or externally, can be in the same hex at any given time without penalty. If more units, then the hex is considered overcrowded and all targets are penalized by a die roll and some of them cannot fire out of the hex. As a practical matter, there is no real limit on the number of units that can be in the same hex. So it's kind of like a Starfleet Battles hex, but they put an artificial limit on stacking, which I can totally understand. You know, there, and even so, and if you really think about it, there's a point where there is actually a physical limit on stacking. I mean, if no matter how big your hex is, there's going to be a physical limit to how don't mind me. That was, I'm not sure if you heard that. I'm not sure if you heard that at all. But if you did, that was my car going off. I moved and I twisted and I pressed the emergency button that was sitting in my pocket. That's the tough part about being a guy and you have so many keys in your pocket. You know, it's... You know, lots of keys, you know. But anyhow, yeah, Chris, I know SWX are huge, and he just mentioned that it's 10,000 kilometers. Yep, but I'm sure that, you know, when it comes to Starfleet Marines hexes, they're much smaller than that. Actually, I'm willing to bet they're much smaller than that. But as I said, if you really think about it, there can be a physical limitation when it comes to Starfleet Marines. In that, remember that we're talking about 2D space here. When it comes to SFB, we're talking about 3D space. So a ship can be side to side or above, below kind of thing. In Starfleet Marines, you can't do that. You can't stack a infantry unit on top of infantry unit doesn't work. So, you know, at the moment, ADB only has a purely artificial limit. I'm sure it has to do with balance factors, you know. Because Lord knows, I think everyone can agree at this moment in time that the SFB at this point, I'm not sure that it should have had stacking limits to begin with. I honestly think they should have had stacking limits to begin with. Possibly, say that the hexes are smaller than 10,000 kilometers, or whatever, you know. Some techno babble to explain it, just because of. Well, no, Iggy. Here's the reason why at least most people that I know of would prefer stacking lifts from the beginning. And here's the reason: why stacking limits are a good thing for SFB is that otherwise you got what is called a super stack, and because of the current rule set. The current rule set, that is not penalized whatsoever. Now, if we go back in time, go back to the Commander's Edition. In the Commander's Edition, there was a penalty. It's called, those explosive strengths were a lot higher than they are now. Back in my day, basically when I learned SFB, when it comes to Andromedans, all that power that was in the panels, every single drop of power, every single point of power that was there in the panels when it blew up, was added to the strength, explosion strength of that unit. So, in other words, Andromedans could be really, really, really nasty if you blew them up right next to you. And same for some of the... It wasn't as much of a thing for SFB units, though you still had a higher cost. And that if you blew up a smaller ship, which was right next to you, you know what happened? It would drop your... It could possibly drop your shield. It was... They were... The explosion strength were a lot higher than they are today. Today, they're just annoyance. Back then, they could cost you the game. Or cost you another ship. If you had stacking. You know? You know, if you try to do too big of a super stack, but after, you know, but with the Captain's Edition, they remove those. You know, they truly pull back on the explosive strength, and I understand to a degree why they did that, because they think that was too powerful of a tool. But at the same time, if it's too powerful, spread out your ships. Don't have this big stack of 10 ships in a single hex. Now. Yeah. Now, with FedCom, as Chris has pointed out, your stack is unlimited, but you have a penalty when it comes to, you only can fire, only three ships can fire out of the hex at once. Which, hey, do the same for the SFB, I'd be happy. Because of that means there is a true penalty for it. Because the reason why you build a super stack is basically you build a super ship. You can additively add all of the weapons together and fire them in concert, so it becomes like a single big ship. The only minor issue with a super stack only current issue with a super stack that you have to avoid is that it means that you're not going to be moving that fast. I mean, because of the smaller ships have usually are more maneuverable than the larger ships, so that if you want to keep them together, you have to move slower, and basically all ships have the same turn mode as the largest ship in the fleet, or the ship that has the worst turn mode. That's what it comes down to. And to be honest, I think if you're flying a super stack, you're not going to go super fast anyway. You know, it's just a nasty situation overall. But so don't mind me. I'm just going to get rid of my screen so that you see just my lovely face. But anyhow, moving forward, I've not played with the, I've not actually read all the I haven't read any, okay, let's be honest here, the Call to Arms rules, which I probably should, so that at some point I can go over them, but just like I did for Starmada. You know, I went over the rules, and I think that'd be a great help for people. So at the very least, for those individuals who normally don't even think about Starfleet, you know, the Call to Arms, and it's not for me. I'm not gonna own miniatures. Why should I even play it? Well, it might be a new way of fighting. I have to double check on. I know. My understanding, it's designed for miniatures, which means that in my mind, the record keeping should be as simple as possible. Because of how many people are going to want to have all these, for each one of these miniatures that's supposed to be for Fleet Games, have all this paperwork. Yes, you kind of have that with FedCom, but the FedCom, it tries to help playing fleets by having basically the energy allocation as part of the ship and make the energy allocation simpler overall. And it is. And I think when it comes to Federation Commander and that goal was reached. That goal was accomplished. Understood, Iggy, but of course, Iggy is saying that if you want to play fleet battles, play Starfire. And that's fine, but Starfire doesn't have, they don't play like the Starfleet universe. At least doesn't play like Starfleet battles in the way things interact. But anyhow, where was I? Oh, yeah. Federation Commander. When Federation Commander, it reached the goal when it comes to making it easy to play fleet battles. I think that goal was reached. But they did something initially, which I've talked about before, that is the whole idea of squadron scale versus fleet scale. The original, my understanding is the original idea for that whole thing was that, okay, fleet scale was to make it so that you could play larger fleets at the same, you know, at the same time it took the same kind of BPV at a squadron scale. And guess what? It doesn't work. It takes, whether it's fleet scale or squadron scale, it takes the same amount of time. Why? Weapons, my dear friends. Weapons. Because what do you do? When you go from squadron scale to fleet scale of the same ship, you've reduced the shield, but you also reduced the weapons. So it still takes the same amount of ship, overall size clash of ship to get through those shields. So you're not really saving any time. The idea was the fleet scale, you could actually reduce it. You can speed up the game by a reduced number of internals and therefore speed up the game. The only way to do that, to actually so it speeds up the game and fleet scale, would be to take the weapons. Yes, reduce the number of weapons, but double the amount of damage. You want to make things go faster? That's the way to do them. You know? So that those, you know, the shields aren't effective, or heck, that's another way of doing it. Just take the squadron scale, reduce the shields by half. You'll get talk about a faster game. That's one way to make a faster game. Because of the important thing is that the ship doesn't survive as long. That's the only way you can have a faster game. And for those of you listening on this one, on my wonderful podcast, Chris is just mentioning that you could, instead of playing Starfire, you could play Starmada SFU, you know, but which I did go through, and because it has the same number of volleys. And I agree, you know, I like the idea. But again, I still want to really get in and read Call to Arms and learn the system. Maybe I'll be able to play. If I be able to play, I think that would absolutely be awesome. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But I definitely, at the very least, like to understand the game enough so that I would be able to show you, you know, the basic system and how the basic system works. And hopefully, maybe some people will be interested. Yeah. That's true. Krista's mentioning that same number of volleys for both fleet and squadron scale. Yeah, that is true. But, and as I mentioned, Krista, the big issue, if you want to speed up, is that, you know, you want to have a game be shorter time-wise, reduce the defense. That will quicken things most definitely. So I think with that, I will end the podcast for this evening. So I am Paul Franz. I'd bid you a good night.